Okay, well, welcome home. Yeah. Do we need to do any kind of check or something, guys? No, we're good? Okay. I have some virus jokes for you. Gary and I ran out of toilet paper during this virus, and so we started using lettuce leaves. Today was just the tip of the iceberg. Tomorrow remains to be seen. And here's another one. I never thought the comment, "I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot or 6-foot pole," would become a national policy. Right? But here we are, right? And so I'm just glad you're here. I'm glad we're back. I've missed you guys. And however we get to do it, this morning I heard the song Waymaker, Miracle Worker, Promise Keeper. And I thought, boy, Waymaker. He's a Waymaker. We're outside, we're inside. We're masked, we're not masked. We're 6 feet, we're not 6 feet. You know what I mean? We'll be doing jumping jacks someday, you know, so that we can go to church. Anyway, I loved Gary's message on Sunday. Wow, what a powerful message, huh? And you know, that's not easy for him. Gary is a line upon line, precept upon precept teacher. He does not like to do topical studies. He doesn't feel comfortable doing that. He likes to stay in the Word, be in the Word, and just keep going. He feels really safe. And so the middle of the week, he came to me and said, Meef, I just feel like God's telling me that I need to switch it up and thank you, whoever did that, and do this message on what the end times and what's going on. And I just thought it was so alive with his spirit. And I don't know if a lot of you know me or know what I do for a living, but what I do for a living is mask fit testing, viruses and vaccines. This is my job. I do employee health in a large hospital where I take care of around 4,000 employees. And so mask fit testing is not something new to me. I'm very familiar with N95s and everything that has to do with the flu virus and the CDC and everything that we've been learning about, haven't we? We all been learning about this. And so during this time, I have to be honest with you, my world got rocked. It did. I was just thinking, oh my gosh, we're all going to die, you know, at the very beginning. And I found myself searching every day for truth. I was feeling like that this big cloud of deception was coming upon us. And that I was like, no. And I just was kind of trying to look through it and just search for truth anywhere that I could find it. And the Lord showed me Galatians 6:7, which says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a nation sows, it's going to reap." And you know, part of what's going on this past 6 months is us reaping, right? I mean, this nation is messed up. Our nation is immoral. When we have a leader who is approving of pedophilia and supports abortion, we're not in a good place. And so one of my girlfriends that I've known most of my life just said to me, she said, "You know what, Meef? I feel like God just walked over and kicked the lid off the cesspool." And he said, "I'm not going to tolerate this anymore." So I see the Lord moving. I see him doing a lot of good things. But I also feel this cloud of deception, and that we have to be able to see through that cloud. And 1 John 1:7 says, "This is the deceiver, the Antichrist." And so anybody that's anti-Christ, any kind of leader, may try and push anything on us. And we have to be wise discerners of truth. Hosea 8:7 says, "For they sow to the wind and they reap the whirlwind." And that's what's happening here in America. We have sown to the wind for years and years. I remember, I've told you this before, 1984. They were pushing a family life book in my children's school, where bestiality was considered an alternate lifestyle and not a deviant behavior. I read the book and went to the Board of Head of Education and fought with him and he said, "Well, I picked the best from the worst." And I said, "Well, you know what? My kids deserve the best of the best." And I never did put them in that school. But that was 1984. There was a category in this family life book on deviant behavior, but bestiality was in alternate lifestyles. So that was 1984. So I know there is the spirit of the Antichrist, right? And that's why we're waiting and longing for the return of Christ. But you know what? I just want you to know that I had good days and I had bad days. Can you raise your hand? Did you have good days and bad? Yeah, we are all exactly the same. You know, we all need Jesus. We all need the truth. I had emotional highs. I had lows. Poor Gary. Poor Gary. He was stuck with me, just me, you know, when we didn't even come to church for a little while. And I was like spinning out of control because I'm working in the hospital. So I'm dealing with, they set up a 10th and 11th floor or 11th and 12th floor at my hospital. The federal government came in and set up 240 beds, IV poles and everything, expecting this big crisis. And we never put one patient on those floors. And so I've been right in the thick of it. Those of you that are my friends on Facebook have probably seen some of my strong posts. But you know what? John 14:7 says, the spirit of truth abides in you. And the spirit of truth abides in me. And that's why I was flipping out. I'm like, there's something not right about this, what's going on. John 15:26 says, I will send you a helper. Jesus said this. I will send you a helper. The spirit of truth. And John 16:13 says, the spirit of truth will guide you into all truth. So I just encourage you, don't believe everything you hear on the mainstream media. You ask the Lord and you get your truth from the Word of God. And one thing that I really felt during this time was I was feeling very insecure, like my world was, I was actually grieving the loss of my life. Because my happiness went out the window. I couldn't see my grandkids. I couldn't go anywhere. Couldn't go to Big Bear. Couldn't the things we normally do. And I had to grieve it. And I had to go through the stages of grief. And so I'm here tonight. This is not the Bible study. This is just me yakking. But I'm here tonight to tell you, if you've gone through depression, it's okay. It's normal. It's normal if you felt depressed. Our world has been rocked. Our lives have been rocked. And so you don't need medication. You know, you just need to wait on the Lord and get your strength from the Lord and let the spirit of truth guide you into all truth. Proverbs 29:2 says, when the righteous increase, the people rejoice. But when a wicked man rules, people groan. And that's what I feel like I've been doing. And it's perfectly natural to groan when a wicked person is in charge. So that's just my introduction there. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for this night. I thank you for every one of these brave women that have come here, Lord, to meet with you. Jesus, we invite you as our welcome guest in this place. We need you desperately. We need the spirit of truth to guide us into all truth, Lord. There's so much deception and so much evil floating around. Lord, help us to see through it and to keep our eyes on you, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. And I'm very excited because my friends are all going to help me teach this book of Hebrews this year. And there's going to be five of us. And, you know, I just want to say, I always have to say this. You girls that have been with me for a long time have heard this. But I'm just one beggar showing another beggar where to find food. I don't have it wired. I am not any kind of a perfect person that you put up on some pedestal because I'm going to fall off and let you down. All I've got is I'm a grandma that loves Jesus. That's it. That Jesus is my everything. And so we're going to study the book of Hebrews. And I was so happy that our study builders, are there any study builders here right now? Would you stand? Where are you? These are the girls who wrote your study. Let's give them a hand. So they've been through this whole corona. they've been faithfully writing Hebrews for you. And I was so grateful. Like when we got through it and now we're coming back and getting kind of normal, I was like, oh, Lord, thank you for thinking ahead of time and having Hebrews written so that we could start right up in the fall. So now that I'm an older woman, I'll be 65 this year. Yeah, yeah. I hope I get to retire. I realize that the relationships I have built are the greatest gift I have from God. I didn't always know that when I was young. I probably thought getting a really cool house was the, you know, when I was having my babies and everything. Stuff seemed really important to me when I was young, but not so much now. The single greatest relationship you will ever have in this life is your relationship with Jesus. Nobody else will have the ability to influence you like he can and bring the abundant life that you long for. Oswald Chambers told me when I was a very young pastor's wife, he said, "Forget all else, but maintain the relationship with Jesus at all costs. You can let other things go. The house can be dirty, but maintain that relationship at all costs." But you know, relationships are like a garden that you need to tend. It needs to be watered and weeded. But too much water or love brings death, and too many weeds brings death as well. I have a plant that someone bought us when Gary's mom passed away in the fall. Big, beautiful plant. And I'm not very good at that. Gary's really good at it. But anyway, it's still alive. And it's in my house. But I have a tendency, like I over-nurture, I over-water. And so it started looking really bad. And Gary said, "Meef, you need to cut back on the loving of the plant." You know. So anyway, it's doing pretty good now. It takes the watering and the weeding, both, to grow a healthy relationship. We need to hear God's words of love and hear God's words of warning to have a healthy relationship with him. You don't want to just hear the milk of the word. You want the meat as well. And that's what this book is about. Hebrews. I've never taught the book of Hebrews before. I've always thought it was like over my head. And, you know, when I was a young pastor's wife. And I came to Marianne a few years ago and I said, "Hey, let's do the book of Hebrews." And she goes, So anyway, but God's perfect timing is right, right? And this, I really think 2020 is the good year for this. David Guzik said, "God spoke in spectrum in the Old Testament. And Jesus is like a prism that collected all those bands of light and focused them into one pure beam." And that's what I feel this book of Hebrews is, we're going to learn. That we're going to learn about that the Old Testament things, it's all wonderful and everything, but Jesus is the radiance of his glory, the exact representation of God's nature. And so we are going to be focusing on that one pure beam as we study this book. The book opens with the words, "God spoke." And then at the end of the book, it says, "Do not refuse him." And so I'm hoping that as we study through these chapters, that we will hear God speak to each one of us personally and that we won't refuse him. So I'm going to give you 5 words. Gary says I'm a Baptist because I like 3 points in a poem. So my 5 words, I got these from Wearsby. The 5 words are evaluation, exhortation, examination, expectation, and exaltation. And I will repeat them again, so you don't need to worry about getting them all at once. So 1, the book of Hebrews is a book of evaluation. The word "better" is used 13 times in this book. Jesus is superior to the Old Testament writings and laws. The Hebrew church was being tempted to go back to the old Jewish ways. Religion, you know, religion is much easier than a relationship. Religion, you just follow rules, A, B, C, D, and then, okay, God loves me. Relationship takes time. It takes listening. It takes being honest, sometimes crying and explaining yourself. But religion brings death. Relationship is harder, but it brings life. And so we don't want to have religion. We want to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. This letter is a picture of who Jesus is, and a picture is worth 1,000 words. And so we are going to see who Jesus is as we study the book of Hebrews. It was written to second generation Hebrew believers who had been won by those who had walked with Jesus and saw his ministry, but they were being seduced by some teachers of false doctrine, and they were thinking maybe they should go back to the old Jewish ways and not be born again. Hebrews 13:9 says, "Do not be carried away by strange teaching." And Hebrews 5:12 says, "There's a danger of going backwards." The author, we don't know who the author is. God is the author of the book of Hebrews. But he says, "You ought to be teachers, but you want milk and not solid food." So I'm hoping as we hang in there with each other this year that we'll be able to receive the solid words and the solid truth of the Bible and not be babies that are always just wanting to be milk fed. Hebrews 10:25 says, "Do not forsake assembling together." Knuckles. Right? Do not forsake assembling together. Okay, we won't. And then it goes on to say, encourage each other. And you know what? I felt your absence. I don't know if you felt my absence. I felt your absence big time. I was sad. I felt lonely. I was just like, I want to go to church. I want the body of Christ. I want my family. Praise God. Gary just said, in fact, Gary said we were opening the church before Newsom said we could. And he was going to be willing to go to jail if that's what it meant. Now, thank God, Newsom had a moment of sanity and changed his mind on Friday before we opened. Hebrews 6:1 says they were not making spiritual progress, and we need to press on to maturity. In the book of Hebrews, we will evaluate the New Testament claims of Christ. I mean, who he said he was. And he is the radiance of God's glory. So that's going to be exciting. So number one, it's a book of evaluation. Number two, it's a book of exhortation. The one central message in this book is hear God's word. Hear God's word. That's what we're going to be doing. Hearing him and listening to what he has to say. There is a cost to discipleship, right? Amen? There's a cost to discipleship. You have to deny yourself and pick up a cross and follow Christ. But there is also a cost to non-discipleship as well. We get weak. I felt weak even when I wasn't with you during this difficult time. So as we get discipled through this book of Hebrews, we're going to get stronger. As we read this book, the writer presents a downward spiral using the words that start with D. In Hebrews 2:1-4, he talks about drifting from the word by neglect. In Hebrews 3:7 and 4:13, he says, once you start drifting from the word, then you start doubting the word, and your heart can start to get hard. And then in Hebrews 5:11 and 6:20, you start to have a dullness toward the word of God. That's kind of a sluggish understanding of the word of God or what he wants from your life or whatever. Then Hebrews 10:26-39, all of a sudden, as you're spiraling down, you start to despise the word and question it, and you become willful. And then Hebrews 12:14-29, the final thing is you start defying the word. And I don't know about you, but I raised 4 teenagers. And so I watched this. I watched them start to drift from the word and then start to doubt the word. And then they get kind of dull toward the word, and then they despise the word, and then they defy the word. And to be honest with you, I'm in one of these D's right now. I'm not telling you which one. But during this difficult time that we've just gone through, I started to spiral down. I need fellowship. I need my family. If we do not listen to God's word and really hear it, we will start to drift. As we drift, we will start to doubt, which brings dullness toward the word and causes us to despise it, and then eventually, hopefully not, but to defy it by disobeying. This is me. I've watched my life. Times when I get lazy and I start drifting away from the Lord, I end up in one of these D's. We will hear words of exhortation and encouragement as we study this book. So number one, it's a book of evaluation. Number two, it's a book of exhortation. And number three, it's a book of examination. When this letter was written, the Jewish temple was still standing and sacrifices were still being offered. But in a few years, the city and temple would be destroyed, and the Jewish people would be scattered. God wanted his people to have their feet on the solid foundation of faith. He did not want them to put their trust in things that would vanish. Wow. Does that speak to you right now after what we've just went through for the past 6 or 7 months? I mean, we've had a lot of fluff removed from our lives, right? Do you feel that our nation is being shaken? When this first started happening, the Lord gave me that verse. It's Hebrews 12:27. The removing of things which can be shaken as created things, so that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. I feel like that God is shaking the globe. He's just saying, wake up. Be about your Father's business. Get your eyes on the kingdom of heaven and know what's going on. And he's getting rid of a lot of distraction that we've had in our life. I think that it's as though God has kicked a lid off the cesspool and is exposing how evil the world has become. This Hebrew letter is a call to examine ourselves and what we have put our trust in. And I've been walking with the Lord for 42 years now. And this time, this corona thing rattled me. It really did. Now, I finally got, praise God that I married an incredible man who's, he's like this. Here we are. We're going through corona, and it's not affecting him at all. And here's me. Good day, bad day. Good day, bad day. But this book is going to help us to really, understand. Are we going to live in fear, ladies? I think it's going to get worse. I hate to tell you that, but I don't think this election, everybody says, oh, the election's going to fix it. I think all H-E-L-L is going to break loose no matter who wins, because we are so divided as a nation right now. But when we're going to have our eyes on Jesus, amen? Yeah, amen. A lot has been removed this year. I think we've all been realizing what our foundation has been built on. So many are putting their faith in teachers who do not teach the word of God. Wanting to have their ears tickled. Remember how the Bible talks about that? And so they're going to places where they're having, fog machines and all this stuff, entertainment and all that. And they're not really teaching verse by verse through the Bible. But I'll tell you what, when the rug gets pulled out, I am so praising God that I have sat under a pastor for 40 years who has taught the Bible verse by verse, because that brought me great stability during this time. Since this virus, we are seeing many new families in this church. And I can't tell you how many of them are coming here because Gary teaches the Bible verse by verse. That's what they're saying. They're saying, first of all, either their church is just closed. Their church is closed and they don't have anywhere to go. And some of them have been saying, I realize I need to find a church where the Bible is being taught. I'm sorry, I have allergies. I don't have the virus. You can be secure while everything around you is falling apart if you have a strong relationship with Jesus, not religion, but relationship with Jesus. Like Gary said on Sunday morning, not falling apart, falling into place. Right? Those two new peace treaties, Bahrain and United Arab Emirates, it's just all falling into place. Hebrews 12:18 says, we have a kingdom which cannot be shaken. Amen? Yes, we know the end of the story. Jesus wins. Hebrews 6:19 says, this hope we have as an anchor for our soul. Right? The book of Hebrews is a book of examination. It helps you discover where your faith really is. So, it's a book of, let me tell you from the beginning. It's a book of evaluation. It's a book of exhortation. It's a book of examination. And then number four, it's a book of expectation. This book is not a diet for spiritual babies who want to be spoon-fed and coddled. As we study it, we will get our eyes on Jesus and lose our appetite for the world around us. Remember, I've told you this, if you've been with me any time at all, you've heard this a million times. What we focus on, we become. We are going to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, right? So what we focus on, we become. And we are going to look at Jesus. This whole year, we are going to look at Jesus. And I realized that one of the reasons I was in Darla's group this morning, and I thought, I realized one of the reasons why I felt weak during this is because I was working almost 40 hours in the hospital, and I have my eyes on the coronavirus, and on masks and on a panic and on exposures and all that. And I had to, because that's my job. And I want my eyes on the Lord. I want to get strong. I'm excited about this book this year. So we will not be the same at the end of the year. As we behold him, we become like him. And there's no greater thing that you can do with your time than put your face in God's word and get your eyes on Jesus. Fixing our eyes on the promise of our eternal inheritance lightens the load of living in a fallen world. We can't look around us. We look around us, we're going to get discouraged. We got to keep our eyes on Jesus. We don't have to fret. We know the end of the story. Hebrews 8:10 says, I will put my law in their minds and write it on the tablets of their hearts. And I'm praying that that happens for all of us this year, that Jesus puts his law right in our mind, that our minds get filled with his law, and he writes them on his laws on the tablets of our heart. Hebrews 7:25 says, he saves forever those who draw near to him. It's a promise. This book reminds us to look with expectation for the city whose architect and builder is God. Yeah, so I'm excited about that. Okay, number 5 is a book of exaltation. The book of Hebrews exalts the person and work of Jesus Christ. The author tells us that Jesus is superior to the prophets who were held in great esteem by the Jewish people. Hebrews 1:3 says he is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of God's nature. Jesus is to his Father what the rays of sun are to the sun. As it is impossible to separate the rays from the sun, so it is impossible to separate Christ's glory from the nature of God. They're one and the same. And John 14:9 says, he who has seen me, Jesus said, he who has seen me has seen the Father. Jesus is the source, he's the center, and the end of everything that God has to say. He is to be worshiped, and he is to be exalted. So these are the 5 things that we're going to look at and we're going to see as we study through this book. And while I was preparing for this, I thought about that quote from Corrie Ten Boom where she said, never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. Remember that? So this year, it may get worse, ladies, but we don't have to be afraid. Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. In John 12:32, Jesus said, and if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. And so I'm hoping that as we study through this book of Hebrews and we behold him and become like him, that this church gets so full that we can't even hold all the people that need the love of God. And I told the girls this morning, I work with a wonderful man named Roy. And I've been talking, he knows who I am, he knows I love Jesus, he knows I can't wait to leave work on Wednesday, and I won't do any overtime because we have church. And I've been sharing with Roy, and this week, yesterday, Roy came bounding into the cafeteria, the place where we eat, the lounge, and he says, guess where I went Sunday? And I said, where? He goes, I went to church. I took my wife and we went to church. And I said, good job, Roy. I said, did you like it? He said, yeah. And I said, what was the name of it? He goes, I don't know. But Roy went to church. I mean, that just blesses my heart. Yeah. We are studying Hebrews by divine design. This world is being shaken like never before. And I have never felt a greater need to get my eyes on Jesus than I do right now. We will be women who walk by faith and not by sight. Our lives will represent that strength as we fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith this year. And I just wanted to close. Last year, we were doing the book of Psalms, and we had to stop, which was a bummer. But as we were going through the book of Psalms, I felt the Lord told me, Mif, I want you to find out who I am, who I say I am in the book of Psalms. And so I kept a little notebook, and every time I read a psalm where it said, he is this, I would write it in the notebook. And so I thought, as this year is the year that we're going to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, that I wanted to do this with you at the end of the Psalms, but we weren't allowed to meet. So I'm going to close with reading my little definition of who Jesus is. Who he is, or who is he? He is my strong tower. He is my high tower. He is my deliverer. He is the sustainer of my soul. He is my stronghold. He is my refuge. He is my fortress. He is my rock of strength. He is the rock of my refuge. He is my shepherd. He is my inheritance. He is my shield. He is my helper. He is my strength and my song. He is a shield about me. He sustains me. He puts gladness in my heart. He shelters me from the storm. He surrounds me with favor. He rescues my soul. He receives my prayer. He establishes the righteous. He saves the upright in heart. He abides forever. He is a stronghold to the oppressed. He is the helper of the orphan. He is the righteous. He is with the righteous generation. He illumines my darkness. He trains my hands for battle. He executes vengeance for me. He delivers me from my enemies. He sends me help from his sanctuary. He rules over the nations. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. He guides me on paths of righteousness. He leads the humble in justice, and he teaches the humble his way. He forgives all my sin. He is my light and my salvation. He is a saving defense to his anointed. He blesses his people with peace. He is my hiding place. He preserves me from trouble. He is near to the brokenhearted. He saves those who are crushed in spirit. He sustains the righteous. He knows the secrets of my heart. He chooses our inheritance for us. He is for me, not against me. He accomplishes all things for me. He rules by his might forever. He has compassion on the poor and needy. He shepherds us according to the integrity of his heart. He is slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness. He gives his angels charge concerning us. He will not abandon his people. He is mindful that we are but dust. He delivers us out of distress. He is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. He will not allow your foot to slip. He will accomplish what concerns me. He supports the fatherless and the widow. He heals the brokenhearted, and he binds up their wounds. And he takes pleasure in his people. Now, there's probably a million more that I missed. But as we studied through the Psalms last year, this is what God, that's who God showed me. That's who he is. And that's who we're going to see this year in the book of Hebrews. So I think we're not going to be the same when this year is over. Amen? Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for these ladies. I thank you that they're hungry, Lord. I thank you that they're my family, that they make me feel safe. They make me feel loved, that as we encourage each other, Lord, there's strength in that. Thank you that we don't have to forsake the gathering of ourselves together, Lord, that we're allowed to have church. Thank you, Jesus. And we just pray that your spirit would guide us as we walk through the book of Hebrews this year. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.